Oh, yeah. Here we go, bros, with another installment of the Bart and Balme Show. We're doing it live. It's a Thursday, our new day. All the leagues are handing out trophies, Joe. Dallas is parading. Wake up! Vancouver not so parading. Boston on the parade. But the bottom line, son, is we're still going to talk these two sports, playa.
So, wait, I can't believe the Lakers three-peated again. This is amazing to me. I can't believe it.
Dude, the parade tomorrow is going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Oh, dang.
What a legend. Pau Gasol, what a performance by Pau.
Oh, man. I'm still in denial. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm still in denial. I can't believe the freaking Mavs, who we just, I don't know, what was it, like 3 weeks before the season, whomped them by 20-something? I can't believe it. It should have been us handing LeBron his lunch. I mean, unfortunately, we had to watch Dirk do it. But, I mean, we got to give credit where credit's due, man. That was an incredible playoffs for the Mavs. They were shooting lights out. And like we said, man, we got to give the big props to the big German. He pulled it out, and he was looking like a true champion, man. He was really soft back in the past. And in these finals, man, he really looked like a stud.
Nothing says giving a guy his due like mispronouncing his name on the trophy stand. It's Nowitzki. All Americans call him Nowitzki. No big deal, David Stern. You blew it. It's the least of your problems. But yeah, the big schnitzel. Oh my gosh. This guy did the damn thing. He shrugged off the little thing by Dwayne and LeBron in the hallway there, making fun of the guy's cough. Absolutely ignoramus move. It just fueled this guy's fire. It fueled the bench player's fire. Bottom line, they got it done. 105-95 in that last game, Joe, on Miami's home court. Absolutely spanked them. And you and I brought it up. Those Miami fans, if you jump down Miami's throat, they'll turn into Dallas fans right away. Miami fans don't care necessarily about hoops. They got the beach outside, so it's not like a loss inside the building breaks their heart. They just roll out to the sand, have a couple margaritas, and forget about it. But yeah, the better team won, Joseph. And as hard as that is for us to say, it's absolutely undoubtable.
Yeah, you know, I'm really shocked that we're sitting here talking about Dallas Mavericks being, you know, the world champs. And realistically, they turned it around, man. In the playoffs, they shot lights out from beyond the arc. I mean, you know that you're a good team when your star player starts the game 1-for-12. 1-for-12. I mean, I was sitting there watching Dirk, and I'm like, dude, this looks like something Kobe would do. And I sat there in the room full of people, and I said, watch, I will guarantee you right now he's going to end up with 20-plus points. He's going to come out, and he's going to end up shooting lights out towards the fourth quarter because that's what he does. He's going to hit his free throws because that's what champions do, and he did it. He looked poised. I mean, you remember from a couple years ago when he was in the playoffs, he was missing free throws. He was getting pushed around. Now he worked on his weaknesses. I mean, the guy, you know, he's pretty much automatic when he's at the free throw line now. He's taking hits. He's draining the shots. You watch the end of that game, and you just know when he has the ball in his hand, you might as well just put 2 points on the board because it's going in. And realistically, his team carried him, man. And Jason Terry, Jason Kidd, all these guys had wonderful series, wonderful playoffs. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with this team, you know, in a year or two, if they're going to be able to get back to the title. I'd be pretty shocked what happens when they have Caron Butler on that team, because you got to remember, they're missing an all-star, and they still won a title. So it's kind of scary to think what they're going to look like next year if they bring everybody back. And from what it sounds like, they're bringing everybody back. So they have a chance to repeat, man. And as sad as it is to say, I think they have a better situation right now than the Lakers do. Obviously, they have the coach in place, and they've got their team in place. They're going to be a scary team next year, man, plain and simple.
I think they would be a scary team next year if there were going to be a next year.
The Human Torch is denied a bank loan.
These guys are going to get denied their chance. I believe there's no season next year. Jason Terry, Jason Kidd, those guys pay the biggest price in a situation like this when the lockout comes and there is no season. Guys like that, basically, Jason Kidd for sure, he said it. He said it on the trophy platform. He said, I think I got 2 or 3 more good years. Well, guess what? One of those 2 or 3 good years is going by the wayside via lockout. These guys are paying the ultimate price, but right now they're just loving it. Mark Cuban splashing money all over Miami, buying $90,000 bottles of champagne. It's a beautiful thing. Joe, let's drop this song and just make this thing official, doggy. Oh, song is for Dallas. I hate saying that. I thought it was going to be a late show parade. This song was going to give me goosebumps. I was going to be at the parade. No big deal. No big deal. We're crowning the new champ. And their name is the Dallas Mavericks, y'all. Get with it. I cannot believe it, Joe. It's weird. I mean, Dirk Nowitzki, after the game, he all but said that it's completely weird that they won a title. I mean, you could see it in his eyes, Joe. He really couldn't wrap his mind around the fact that he was a champion that night. It was going to take a couple days to sink in.
Well, I think all those players were pretty shocked, man, especially the way they were playing throughout the season, losing Caron Butler. I mean, you lose an all-star, and you got to think that you have no chance of making it to the finals, let alone winning it. And realistically, you know, they should have gone to a Game 7. I'm really shocked that it even came down to a Game 6. I mean, you know, all signs pointed that to being a Game 7. You watch the start of that Game 6. LeBron goes, 4 for 4. They jump out to an early 10-point lead. I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, what a trap game this is. Why didn't we bet on this? Because this seems to me like, you know, Dallas is going to just, you know, ride it out and go to Game 7 and try to win it there. And then, sure enough, they came back, man. And it really came on defense and shooting the three. And how are you going to stop a team when every shot they take that's a three-pointer pretty much almost goes in? And on top of that, they're doing shutdown defense. I mean, it was a great, great display of team ball. To me, it reminds me a lot of when Detroit won it, and it was one of those team efforts. It wasn't necessarily one or two collective guys. It was the team that carried them to this title. And again, man, you got to give them credit where it's due. They won it. We're all bummed as Laker fans. We're all stoked to see LeBron go another year without a title. But down, you know, plain and simple, I think we definitely need to talk about Miami and their collapse and really who the real player on that team is. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you brought up the 1-for-12 from Dirk, and I'm glad you did. Dirk goes 1-for-12 in the first half. He looked horrible. I'm all over Twitter, sticking by my prediction in Dallas. And one of our fanboys on Twitter, Joe, was saying, here comes Miami, blah, blah, blah. Dirk melting under the spotlight, blah, blah, blah. And I said, excuse me, sir. If Dirk is 1-for-12, shouldn't Miami be up 20 right now? I mean, last time I checked, guy goes 1-for-12, and Dallas is still up at the half. That, to me, says Dallas in six. I mean, Dirk was not going to come out in that second half and go 1-for-12 again. He goes 1-for-12. Miami couldn't capitalize. And bottom line, Joe, the better team won. Dirk turned it on in the second half, mainly in the fourth quarter. He came in a little creaky in the third, turned it up in the fourth, and they blew those guys off the floor in the fourth quarter, Joseph.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting game to watch. I'm kind of shocked that it went down that way. I figured that Miami would put up more of a fight, man. But, I mean, it comes down to it again. You look at that team, and plain and simple, anyone who thinks LeBron James is the best player in the NBA, I don't even know if he's the best player on his team. You know, I mean, Dwayne Wade, to me, was trying to will that team to a victory, but no one else on the team was believing it. You watch him, he's playing defense, he's hustling, he's blocking shots, he's doing everything he needs to win. But the problem was is that I don't think guys like LeBron and other guys on that team believed that they could win. And that's what the sad thing is that realistically that was a mental loss. If they would have believed that they were champions, if they would have believed that they could have won that thing, I think that they had a chance. Let's also touch on the point, hey, nice to see Eddie House finally in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Like, a little late. What was that about? A day late and a buck short, Spoelstra.
Right? I mean, the guy's out there draining threes, and I'm thinking to myself, you and I just talked about it last week. Where's this guy been all the playoffs? Like, why has he been sitting on the pine? And then all of a sudden now, I mean, I kind of blame that on Spoelstra. All of a sudden now, Mike Bibby isn't playing at all, and now you've got House out there draining threes. To me, that's a coaching maneuver. We talked about James Jones. He was dinged up, so that's really the reason he wasn't out there. But, I mean, dude, House should have been out there a little bit sooner than normal, you know, than before the game six. I mean, come on, you know, like give the guy a shot. And Spoelstra, to me, seemed like he started doing coaching, you know, when it was way too late in the series.
Yeah, he gave Eddie House a chance. And I know there's a few fans out there saying Eddie House was throwing up a couple ugly shots, blah, blah, blah. He nailed three threes. He was 3-for-6 in the last game. Remember back to our last week's show. What did I say Mike Miller did in 15 minutes? In 15 minutes, he went 2-for-6. Eddie House, 21 minutes, 3-for-6, brought a few more points, brought a little excitement. And Joe, when Eddie House was on the floor, He gave Miami that swagger that they were looking to LeBron James for and not getting from him. They had it when Eddie House was on the floor, even when he threw up a couple ugly shots. And, I mean, you can't throw Eddie House in Game 5 and say, all right, buddy, take us to the championship. He should have got minutes in Game 1. He should have got minutes in Game 2. If you don't like Eddie House on the road, fine. Minimize his minutes when you go to Dallas. But bottom line, he mismanaged Eddie House. He mismanaged Mike Bibby, Joseph. Mike Bibby did not get a minute. He went from getting the 20 minutes that Eddie House got to getting 0 minutes. I would have liked to have seen a little in between there. I would have liked to have seen Eddie House get 20, 15 to 20. But I also want to see Mike Bibby get 10 to 20. Spoelstra just didn't have it in him to manage this roster. But hey, let's go back to LeBron, Joseph, because if LeBron turned it on, anything that Spoelstra did would have been moot. It wouldn't have mattered. If LeBron just blew it up, Spoelstra's the genius. He's the best coach in the world. Bottom line is LeBron James didn't show up, Joseph. And I know you got a few opinions why, son.
I don't know, man. He's 26 years old, and he's still not at that level that he needs to be at. You know, everyone's riding him like he's never going to be there. I think LeBron one day will get it. It's just you listen to his post-game comments, talking crap about how everybody's got to go back to their normal boring lives and have their normal boring problems pretty much, and how he's LeBron James. He gets to go sit on his, you know, his throne in his castle. I mean, those type of comments to me means he just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand that, number one, you don't take a dump on the fans because the fans will bite you in the ass, and they always will. And number two, he has no responsibility. He has no, oh, you know what, I screwed up. I should have been the one having more responsibility, putting it on himself. It was always, you know, he's out there saying, oh, you know, we did everything we could and we lost. Sometimes you shoot shots and they don't go in. No, LeBron, you need to work harder at it. You need to have mental fortitude to take a game over and not allow your team to lose. I mean, plain and simple, you watch Kobe Bryant, and he wills his team to victory. You put the ball in his hand, and he wants the ball. He wants the shot. He wants to make that team win. And, you know, you watch LeBron, and he's passing the ball to Juwan Howard. I mean, no offense to Juwan Howard, dude, but, like, he's still a good player, but, he's not even near his prime. I'd much rather have LeBron shooting the ball than Juwan Howard. And why is LeBron passing it? Because he's afraid to, man. He's afraid to take that shot. He's afraid for the responsibility of missing it and making it, and he just doesn't have it, man. And honestly, if he never gets it, he will go down as one of the biggest busts ever, because he has all of – he's the guy – the guy is an Adonis when it comes to physical ability. He can do anything he wants on the basketball court. He shouldn't even be playing basketball. He should be playing tight end for a football team. You know what I mean? But the problem is that he doesn't have the mental fortitude to do it. And until LeBron can look in the mirror and say, you know what, I screwed up. Go to Dwayne Wade and be like, you know what, I screwed up. This is my fault. We lost this title because of me. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make sure that I have that hunger. I have that drive. He needs to take some damn notes from Dwayne Wade. He needs to go to Kobe Bryant and be like, dude, tell me what you're doing, man, to make you a closer, because I'm definitely not one. And until he gets that, he will be the ringless king, man.
Absolutely. There's no reason to believe it's going to turn around, except for the fact that finally this guy is going through some adversity. Finally, he's experiencing some things that all of us experience in our lifetimes. I mean, this guy, when you show the potential to be an NBA star from the age of, 13, 14, 15, from then on, everything is yes, 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 whatever you want, whatever you want, whatever you want. This guy has not experienced real life adversity until now. And for those of you saying, oh, LeBron went 9 for 15 from the field, and he grabbed X amount of rebounds and had 6 assists and blah, blah, F and blah. That doesn't count for anything. Wins and losses are what matters, and I could throw just as many stats that says the guy buckled. 1 for 4 from the free throw line. Not only is 1 for 4 pathetic, he should have been at the line 14 times, not 4. How about 6 turnovers? And get this one, Joseph, the nastiest stat that you will ever get laid on you as a player, minus 24 in the plus minus. When LeBron James was on the floor in game 6, Dallas was outscoring the Miami Heat by 24 effing points. That plus minus is 8 points worse than Mike Miller. Just to give you an idea of how pathetic that is, Mike Miller's defense is terrible. He was trying his best. He looked his best in the finals. He's still terrible. He had 0 points in game six, 0 points, and his plus minus was 16. Okay? So when you have 0 points, when you're producing Zipperoni and the plus minus is 16, that means you're at least out there hustling on D. You're not giving your guys open looks. LeBron James, minus 24. He was getting blown by on defense, and he was not getting it done on the offensive side of the floor, Joe. Let me ask you this, son. Do you think going through this adversity, having the fans backlash, getting backhanded in the face, is this guy going to respond positively or negatively next year?
Me being a quasi-semi-LeBron fan, I hope to God the kid pulls his head out and realizes that he is only going to go as far as his brain will let him. You know, like I said, he's got the physical attributes. You never want to see someone suffer. I mean, you know, I think he's suffered now a pretty good amount. You don't want to see that for his whole career. I do think LeBron one day will figure it out. I do think LeBron one day is going to get a title. I just don't know when that's going to happen, man. And honestly, I feel like his comments at the end of this series could have been, it could have been one of those things where if he admits, if he's sitting there on the stand talking to the reporters and he admits his wrongdoing, he admits his flaws, he admits his faults, he gives Cleveland a parting shot of, you know, I'm really sorry, guys. You know, this whole year has shown me that I really screwed up, this and that. Those type of things. If he would have gone out with grace and humility and taking some responsibility, I think he would be five steps closer to that. But the fact that he went out the way he did, now he's trying to clarify the comments and all this stuff, it's too late, dude. You've already screwed up. You've already stuck your foot way down your throat. And to me, he's not getting it. He just doesn't get the fact that, like, LeBron, hey, check it out. It's your fault, bro. It's your fault that they just lost the title. You should be the guy carrying this team, and instead you're the guy that's pretty much holding this team back. And until he can grasp that, man, I don't know. It could take 2, 3, 5 years. He could be 32 before he ever gets it. I mean, look at Kobe Bryant, again, as a perfect example. When he was a young player, he was selfish. He was a ball hog. He wasn't trusting of his teammates. He had a million things that people used to say things about him. But you know what? Plain and simple, he was never hated as much as LeBron James. Kobe supposedly raped a chick in Utah and was not hated as much as LeBron James. You know what I mean? So Kobe got it, and he got it quick. You know, he realized, man, I need to be more humble. I need to be more forgiving and more taking responsibility on myself, or else I'm never going to make it with the fans. I'm never going to make it in this league as a champion. And until LeBron does, he's always just going to be a great player. He's never going to be one of the greats.
Yeah.
He'll be a great player in the league. He'll always be an all-star. He's going to have his fans. He's going to have those people that follow him. But until he really makes that decision to man up, he's always going to be just a good player, a great player. He's never going to be one of the greats of all time.
Absolutely. And I got one correction. Kobe was allegedly a rapist in Denver. If he was accused in Utah, he would still be rotting in a prison to this day. Utah would have thrown away the key on him. Oh, man. It was in Denver, but yeah, you're right. I mean, the guy...
It's a live show here, people. It's a live show, you know? Come on, give me some credit.
The guy faced felonious charges, and he was still less hated than LeBron is right now. I completely agree with you. I mean, outside of Denver, Kobe really didn't pay that big a price in terms of in the fans' eyes. He lost a couple endorsements that ended up coming right back. LeBron, I don't know how LeBron comes back from this, and you brought up an interesting point. You're saying he might never get it. I'm going to say, I don't feel I'm going out on a limb, but I'm going to say, if it's not next year, it's never. If he doesn't get it after this epic failure and losing to a guy like Dirk, knowing what Dirk puts into it, I hope LeBron's reading articles. I hope he's paying attention to what Dirk does, because Dirk's work ethic is second to none. Guys like Peja Stojakovic, guys like that have come onto the Dallas Mavericks team and then witnessed Dirk's work ethic, they're blown away by what he does to prepare. He abstains from alcohol during the season. He works on his weaknesses during the off season. He's absolutely amazing. He does everything LeBron James doesn't. Joe, I got to ask you, and I don't mean to pin this on LeBron because there were no names mentioned. We heard there were a couple Heat players out at the clubs the night they lost. What do you think about that, Joseph, and what does that say about that ball club in general?
Dude, I don't blame him. I mean, if I was a baller and and I just lost the title, I'd be getting wasted too, you know? I mean, I don't know. That stuff doesn't bother me. I mean, unless they're, like, helping Dirk carry the trophy into the club, then, yeah, maybe. But, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't blame them for being out. Come on, man. I want to go party tonight. You know what I mean? I didn't even just lose the title. So, I don't know. You know me. In my line of work, I'm all for people going to the club. So, I gotta promote, give that a big old stamp of approval.
Big time. And everybody who's looking at us saying, hey, your guys' NHL coverage has been non-existent. Yeah, we know. But we're going to drop a little song on you, and we're going to talk a little cup, because that trophy also got handed out, Joseph. Woo! The cup is out and about, Joey. And it didn't go to the home team. And they got pretty damn pissed. Man, Vancouver, talk about embarrassing yourselves. Good Lord. I wouldn't be surprised if the riots are still going on right now, Joe.
Could you imagine if they would have won? they would have killed a polar bear or something.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Killing a polar bear right in Times Square type deal. Good Lord. What is wrong with those guys, man? The mayor came out and accused 500 people of being anarchists, not being Bruin fans or Vancouver fans, just being people that were ready to raise some hell, take some names. But, Mr. Mayor, aren't you supposed to have a plan for that? L.A. had a plan for that. Nothing went down here last year. We won a title. We partied our asses off. And then we all went home. That's not what happened in Vancouver, Joe. Tons of injuries. Tons of flipped cars. And a couple police cars got torched, son.
Yeah, man. I'm actually kind of bummed for Vancouver. I mean, I know Canadians, you know, they don't really have a whole lot going on up there other than hockey. Obviously, Canadian Football League, I guess, is kind of cool. I don't really know much about it.
They almost had Terrell Pryor.
I know Ricky Williams did pretty good up there for a little bit, but you know, I don't know, man. This was one of those things that obviously it's a mark against Vancouver, but. Plain and simple, I don't necessarily blame those fans. Vancouver played terrible, dude. No goals in the last two games. We obviously don't talk a lot about hockey because realistically we don't watch a lot of hockey. But, you know, plain and simple, I did watch a little bit of these the Stanley Cup playoffs. Tim Thomas was looking insane. Every home team was winning. Everything pointed to Vancouver winning that cup. And when they didn't, I mean, it just seems like the city just really couldn't handle it.
I think people looked at that scenario and were like, oh, man, Vancouver didn't think they were going to win, and they came ready to riot. I think they were blown away by the fact that they lost. We know about Luongo in clinching games. He absolutely stinks. He's under 500. Doesn't necessarily get it done, but I think Vancouver was looking to their scorers to bail him out. You don't look to your goalie in a game like this. You honestly don't. Goalies carry their teams throughout the regular season and throughout the playoffs. In a clinching game, the forwards got to step up. You got to get that first goal. You got to get your fans into the game. They didn't do it, Joseph, and they paid the price.
What do you think's more to blame or more the reason why Boston won? Was it Tim Thomas and his, I mean, amazing goal stopping in the last two games? Or was it the fact that the offense of the Canucks just disappeared?
You got to give it to Tim Thomas. You can't blame those guys. You know, when they get shut out, you got to give it to the goalie. A shutout's a shutout. Tim Thomas was amazing. I played a little bit of hockey, and I know what it's like to be a goalie. We all love our goalies. We all want to play harder for a goalie when we know we got a badass back there. You got to jump ahead and get those goals, and they didn't do it. So, I mean, I would wuss out and stand on the fence and say it's a little bit of both, but no, you can't do that. Tim Thomas, man, bear, pig. I mean, this guy is a stud. He stood on his head. And Vancouver, it's not like they don't have talent. They got some guys over there. They don't have pure snipers. We saw the difference between pure snipers on Boston and skill guys on Vancouver. Those guys were not ready for the banging that the Bruins gave them. Those guys like to skate open ice without getting hit. The minute they got hit, they were thrown off their game. Pure snipers don't get thrown off their game. Alex Ovechkin, guys like that don't get thrown off their game. Bergeron, the guys that stepped up for Boston. When you smash on them, when you check them, when you crunch them into the boards, all you're doing is pissing them off. All you're doing is fueling their fire. Pure snipers do not back away from challenges, and pure snipers show up in games like this, Joseph.
You know what's actually kind of a crazy thought to think about is that in December, we might only be watching hockey. Isn't that weird? Like, when you really think about it, we're not going to have basketball or football. We may be forced, Nooney. You and I may be forced to become hockey analysts. Think about that. Let that one sink in for a little bit.
Don't kid yourself, Joe. We'll be the absolute worst hockey analysts on the face of the planet. I'll have to fire you and get a guy that can carry me because I won't let that happen. But, Joe, if anyone out there thinks that the NFL owners are foolish enough to let $9.3 billion turn into $4.8 billion or whatever, you're a fool. It's going to get done. Joey, we're running out of booth time, but I know you got a special shout-out for a dude whose birthday it is today.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, happy birthday to Tupac. You know, he was a true lyrical genius. I mean, plain and simple, if Tupac was around today, we wouldn't be having all this rap crap, talking about bling-bling and making it rain. You know, got to give it up. Got to give some love to Tupac on our way out of here, baby.
Let's do it. Here comes the song, player.
Big sight, new paint, hook up, big sight.
Woo, Joe and I did the damn thing. I am literally getting tossed out of this booth. SC football next week. Dumping on Jim Tressel next week. Stay tuned.
All eyes on me. You know what? I bet you got it twisted, you don't know who to trust. So many player-hating niggas trying to sound like us. Say they ready for the front, but I don't think they know it. Straight to the depths of hell is where them cowards going. Well, all you still down, nigga, holler when you see me. And let these devils be sorry for the day they finally freed me. I got a caravan of niggas every time we ride. Hitting motherfuckers up when we pass by. Until I die, live the life of a boss player. Cause even when I'm high, fuck with me and get lost later. The future's in my eyes. Cause all I want is cash and things. I five double low, dance for my flashy brains. Bitches pursue me like a dream. Been known to disappear before your eyes. It's like a dope thing. It seems my main thing was to be major. Pay the game sharper than the motherfucking razor blade. Save money, bring bitches. Bitches bring lies. One nigga's getting jealous and motherfuckers die. Depend on me like the first and 15. They might hold me for a second, but they won't get me. We got four niggas and low riders and ski masks screaming thug like every time they pass. All eyes on me. Live the life of a thug nigga until the day I die. Live the life of a lost player. All eyes on me.